Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Several people here now, on this station, just big picture wise, saying don't sleep on Indiana, but plan to get to another rain delay for the Cleveland Guardians. Maybe they just should have not let them resume play when the Guardians have a 2-0 lead and now it's tied 2-2. So if you don't resume the game, you have to resume at some point later in the season. Maybe something like that. I was just thinking out loud.
I mean, we watched in one little stretch there. Will Wilson, your guy, related to you. How's your relation to him? Is he a cousin?
Young nephew. Not my guy.
Okay. Anyway, so Wilson on the back of a Guardians jersey. I always knew that day would happen for you. So Will Wilson fell, and then John Kenzie Noel fell, and then Nolan Jones fell, and everyone's falling.
Yeah, which is bad. I would say if three people fell after a rain delay, that meant there wasn't enough time to get all the water off the field. That's just as an amateur yardsmith myself.
Yeah, like when John Kenzie does it, you think to yourself, oh, just a big man falling right there is all it is. But once Wilson does it, and then once Nolan Jones does it, who, by the way, I mean, he had the pinch hit opportunity, but he's in center field to be good at defense in that moment. He just fell and never stood a chance.
So it's been interesting how many different conversations we've had about this Cavs-Pacers series off the air, and how it really is the expectations in Cleveland really do span the gambit of I want another sweep, and I understand this might be a 6 or 7 game series. It is wild how across the board how different the many takes are on the potential expectations for this series.
I think I was like a lot of people where I think I had a perception of the Pacers going into the series, and now after a couple days, you're like, oh, they were playing much better basketball than maybe I gave them credit for. Past couple months, they've looked a lot better. It's just, we're better than them in just about every area.
Yeah, like if Darius doesn't play in the first three games of the series, you still have the two best players in the series. Fair? Like Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley.
I hadn't thought about that. I think Evan Mobley is for sure going to be better than Haliburton. I don't know that you can say that right now. I like Haliburton a lot. He's really good.
I think we're bordering on the point that he's overrated.
Haliburton? Well, that's what he was named the NBA's most overrated player.
Yeah, and he's averaged 18 points a game. He's a nice player. He can fill up buckets, but I mean, he's eight. I'm not trying to boil it down to one spot, but it's 18 points a game.
Well, and obviously Evan plays much better defense than him. That's not even debatable. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just that's,
and Siakam's there, but he's inefficient.
But they're different. It's different roles, and that's interesting. Let's ask Chris that, because I if you made me choose on the schoolyard, I would take Mobley over Haliburton. I know I would, but I also look at it like maybe that's a tighter race than I think a lot of Cavs fans realize.
Is it a hot take to say I'd clearly take Darius over Haliburton?
Yeah, I think that's a hot take.
Like, let me put it this way: if you put Darius on Indiana, I think Darius is scoring more than 20 points per game or 21 points per game.
Yeah, I think Haliburton is better than Darius.
How?
And I don't think...
In what way?
Well, okay, we can't just boil it down to points per game. If that's the metric we're going to use,
no,
then
but
that's
I'm just saying, like, that's just the most
it. He's a better defender.
One.
He's a very much better defender than Darius is.
Okay. Is he a better shooter?
I'd say he's also better with assists and playmaking.
Oh, I think Darius's assist numbers are down a little bit just because he's sharing the ball. I think
let's put it this way. When you ask Chris who's better, Mobley between Halliburton, I think he'll say Mobley, and I think he'll honor the question. If you say who's better between Halliburton and Darius, I think he's going to be kind because he likes Darius, but I can all but assure you that answer is not going to go the way of Darius Garland.
Is it just because that Halliburton's the best player in Indiana and Darius is the third best player on this team?
It might boil down to that. Like I think the argument you would try to make if you're going the other direction is that if Darius was put, and I think you were starting there, right? If Darius was put on Indiana, let's put it this way. If Darius was on Indiana last year, did they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals? I don't believe they do.
Well, I mean, Darius wasn't healthy last year. So is he as healthy as...
But like, how many games would Indiana win if Darius Garland was just put on the Pacers and Halliburton was put on the Cavs?
I think they'd win a lot of games. I think Darius... I dare say we're underrating Darius here in this conversation. I like Darius.
I don't want to do the throw down Darius to prop up Halliburton here, because Halliburton's like a villain in the NBA right now, so that's not great. But
I don't want to overrate Darius here, so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying, like... I would put them in the same pantheon, Darius and Tyrese.
I'd be curious to find out what Chris thinks about that, because we're going to be in a disagreement there, and that's okay.
But specific to this series, one of the things that we've talked about, is it okay to hold the Cavs to a higher standard in the second round because of how they played in the first round?
So I think fans are going to expect it to be just an absolute beatdown. Everyone kept doing like the belt to ass thing after every single Heat game.
Say it with your chest against the Pacers.
Say it with conviction, guys. Just for one time, say it with conviction.
We've been saying it for a while.
But yeah, so I do think
Kevin Hart.
It's odd because I feel like if you win by 8 or 10 points, I feel like Cavs fans will be like, "Where was the third Cavalanche?" Just because we just went through Miami as if they were Swiss cheese.
Oh, it's interesting. I put it more on the duration of the series than maybe how close the games are.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm expecting a 5 or 6 game series. I'm not expecting a sweep, obviously, and I am expecting Indiana to win a game or two.
I think there are going to be people, in the same way that people overreacted to just completely dusting an absolute crap team in Miami. And, I mean, thank God Tyler Hero said they weren't going out for nothing, because they went out for nothing. They got swept. Tyler was wrong. He is no hero. He is a zero. Now, in the same way that people overreacted to that, I think if you go in town more specifically with this series, I think if this thing goes 6 or 7 games, even if you still win, people are going to feel like it's Orlando series last year, instead of just giving the Pacers the credit they deserve.
Yeah, I think the Pacers deserve more credit than that. I really do. I think they're just a much better team than that.
Do you think it'll be a disappointment for Cavs fans if this thing goes longer than 5 games?
Because in every conversation
I've heard, and again, I talked to more casual fans.
Get to Boston, and I think we can erase a lot of that. Now, it depends too, though. Is Darius playing? Is Darius healthy in all this?
That's a really good... I don't know.
I mean, Atkinson, again, we'll play the clip and do all that, but Atkinson did say that he thinks that this toe injury is going to be something he has to deal with for the duration of the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe. Okay, let's say you start the first 2 games of... let's say Darius at some point comes into this series, and it's a 6-game series. I don't think you or I will be disappointed, but I think there's going to be people saying, well, can you really beat Boston if the Pacers took you to 6 games?
Yeah, I think there is more than just winning and advancing, obviously, right? Like, the Knicks played that Pistons series, and it's been neck and neck, essentially, even if at one point it was 3-1. But the Knicks look like they're slightly better than that Pistons team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, people learned a lot about the Knicks in that series. Like, if this series ends up being you come out of it looking just slightly better than the Pacers, then I think you'll go into the Boston series feeling way different than what you're feeling right now.
I just think it's okay to hold the Cavs to a higher standard.
Yeah, like, I think that's fine.
And it shouldn't be just about the Miami series, but the Miami series was about clearing a specific hurdle, and you did it with flying colors. So things like they got punched in the mouth and then they really staggered for half of a game, that should be in the rearview mirror. You know, like, am I certain, like, I think for almost everything the Pacers are going to try and do, I think you have some sort of maneuver, right? Like, you are the deeper, you are the more talented team.
You're basically, in many ways, they are, they're just a slightly worse version of everything the Cavs do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in every way of it, and you make an argument their defense is much worse than our defense. I think that's where, like, there's a true separator there. But, like, everything the Pacers do, and what they get credit for, and what they do at many perceived to be a high level, the Cavs just do a little bit better.
216-474-0092. Is it okay to hold the Cavs to a higher standard in the second round? Meaning, when you walk into this series, is just being really, really good and taking this series to six games, is that enough?
You sound like you need the exclamation point.
I think if we're going to base our expectations on the potential Boston series, on how you handle the first and second round of the playoffs, I'll feel a hell of a lot better going into that Boston series that cavalanches can happen at will if you lay it on the Pacers and you get through this thing in five games. If you go six or seven games, and by the way, how it looks matters. We know this. How much Darius plays matters. What's the rest of the health? You know, there's so many things that factor in here. But yeah, for me to think that they've got, I've heard this a lot with the Cavs sweeping the Heat. It's a coin flip, right? The Eastern Conference Finals right now, in the minds of some NBA analyst, is a coin flip.
Yeah.
For me to feel that way in any way, you got to dust the Pacers. And you have to look, you have to make this series look more convincing than Boston's going to do with the Knicks. And I think the Knicks are a tougher matchup for the Celtics than the Pacers should be for you.
Shams reporting that after conversations with Tyrese Halliburton's father, John Halliburton, who you had words about before the show, by the way, the Pacers have decided, and he's agreed, he's not going to attend the team's home and road games for the foreseeable future.
Mm.
So we're not going to have like John Halliburton going up to Evan Mobley and staring him down after the game.
We're not going to have it because he's got to get his burgeoning media career off the ground.
Is that it? Now's the time to strike?
He handled it so well. Like, he put out the personal apology. His son handled
it's
it
like,
so
it's
well.
It's like Hock to a girl. He needs a strike when the iron's hot.
And then he was on random podcast, and I was like trying to tell his side of the story. I'm like, no, you didn't. You were wrong. You already said you were wrong. There's no more explaining necessary, John.
Max trying to buy his meme coin already.
Halicoin?
Halicoin.
Daddy's back.
That's the progression in this, right? You get to be really viral. You have like your big time moment, and then you start a podcast, and then you have a meme coin, and then people forget about you.
Man, I want a meme coin and be
you
forgotten.
You can make one. You can make one. I don't know that
Nick
people
coin.
Will buy it. I don't know that people will buy it.
Ching, ching.
But you can make one.
Brian in Cleveland, is it okay, that's the money sound, to hold the Cavs to a higher standard in the second round?
Absolutely. I feel like the Cavs have pretty much been pedal to the metal all year. And honestly, Indiana's pretty much been scraping by. I mean, I feel like they've been better throughout the last couple of seasons. Halliburton obviously is an all-star, playing at a decent level. I mean, you know, it's opinionated, real judgmental thing to say who's better than who. You know, everything is subjective, opinion-based. In my own personal opinion, Darius Garland, I feel like they're about on the same level. Darius Garland's been up in his play big time. They have a system here with Kenny Atkinson. But you switch teams, I can't say that Darius Garland is going to do the same thing as Tyrese Halliburton. I'm going to say this. Forget scoring, okay, because, I mean, anybody is dropping 20, 30 points off the bench in today's NBA.
Slight
hyperbole. The defensive things Tyrese can do, I feel like even just size. I mean, size isn't everything, but Tyrese is considerably bigger.
He led the league in assists 2 years ago. I get what you're saying.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Even still, Siakam, very inefficient. I agree with you there. I feel like the Indiana Pacers are just outmatched. I feel like we just came off the biggest first round, you know, blowout sweep in Cavs history. I can't say as far back as LeBron. I don't personally know, but to beat a team like that in the playoffs after your expectations have already been so high,
Brian,
nothing less. Nothing
you
less
said you couldn't. You couldn't say about the were you alive with the LeBron years? You sound like an aged man.
Oh, yeah. I started getting into it when LeBron came into the league. But I'm saying I'm not going to be one of those faking guys that's going to bring stats up off the top of my head, you know, and start speaking out the side of my neck.
All right,
that's
Brian.
I won't do.
Brian, we appreciate you saying it with your chest. That's how we do it here on this show. We always say everything we say is said with conviction.
He said speaking out of the side of his neck, and it got me.
216-474-0092. Is it okay to hold the Cavs to a higher standard in the second round? Shams saying on the Pat McAfee show that Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday could be prime trade candidates this summer. because the Celtics are looking for cost-cutting options.
New ownership, and they already want to bail on money.
The end of the Boston Celtics championship dynasty, as we all knew it. Chris Fedor coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. When we think of people that say with their chest, we think of our next guest here with an update on Darius Garland. Will he be ready for this series with the standards for the Cavs in this series? We'll get into the player debate as well. You know him. He's the greatest Swiftie in Cleveland that also covers Cleveland Cavaliers basketball. He's a father. Mm-hmm. Some call him a civic leader. I wouldn't go that far.
I called you that once, Chris.
Yeah, that is Chris Fedor joining us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris, welcome to the show.
That is quite an introduction. What's going on, guys?
Yeah, some of it was true, and I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, a little bit of it was true. There's always a little bit of truth to a joke, right?
Not necessarily, unless it's a good joke.
All right.
So, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm drying off. I just walked out of the practice facility, and I'm wearing this light gray shirt, and I feel a little bit exposed here driving home.
Yeah. You don't want to expose yourself.
I mean, it's quite a long walk from the practice facility doors all the way to our cars, because when you get into playoff mode, more people tend to show up, and they take the parking spaces, and it was pouring on me, so I'm a little bit soaked. I'm kind of cold. I feel exposed. My nipples are kind of out, so I wonder if everybody driving next to me is as uncomfortable as I am in this shirt that I'm wearing.
I'm gonna be on the plus side of this. When you get home, the missus can get a hell of a dance from you. You just walk right in. You don't even give her a warning. You just seductively walk in, and you just give her the old wet T-shirt. Hey, how are you there?
That's right. How's it going, babe? Work's over. Time to party.
Yeah.
He goes the hey, how are you there?
Yeah, the hey,
that's
how are
move.
You there?
Chris,
yeah.
That's your move.
That's
hey,
exactly
how, are you
how
there?
Chris seduces his wife. Hey, how are you there?
How are you?
That's his pickup line in his own wife.
Would you rather say, daddy's home?
No, it's not for you. That wouldn't make sense for you, right? Because you're so polite.
Yeah, that's true. It is.
Hey, Chris, before we get to Darius and some of the updates here, Nick and I were debating a little bit. Who do you think are the top three players in this series? In order that you think they are actually great at basketball.
In order?
Yeah.
I'd say number one is Donovan Mitchell, number two is Tyrese Halliburton, and number three is Evan Mobley.
Okay, so that's interesting. I actually conceded the idea that I thought Evan Mobley and Tyrese Halliburton were maybe closer than I think what some people would maybe think. But I at first glance, I had the exact same order that you had, and then I moved it with Mobley number two, and then Halliburton number three. Nick was trying to make the argument that it should go Darius Garland ahead of Halliburton. I told him he was nuts for that.
Yeah, I'm just not there yet when it comes to Darius, and I keep going back to this. Tyrese Halliburton has done things to a high level in the NBA that Darius hasn't. He has led his team as the alpha of that team to the conference finals. And you can talk about the road that they had and all the injuries that the opponent was dealing with during that playoff run. But Tyrese Halliburton, to me, has accomplished more than Darius has. And you might talk about the potential that Darius has. You might talk about how his jumper looks better. You might talk about just the craftiness that he plays with and being able to get past his defender off the dribble and stuff like that. That's fine. But Tyrese Halliburton was top 10 in every single metric this year that points to winning and impact. And at some point, you just can't ignore the fact that he took his team to the conference finals, something that Darius hasn't done in his career. I think there are legitimate questions about whether Darius can even be the second best player on a championship team. I think there are legitimate questions about how Darius can hold up on the defensive end of the floor throughout the course of a playoff series, maybe even in this series against the Indiana Pacers. So I still think Tyrese, you know, for all of the things that people say about him and he's overrated and he doesn't have an in-between game and whatever, like, that dude is the driver of the second best offense in the playoffs. That dude has done things on the playoff stage that Darius hasn't proven to the same level. So until Darius can prove that, until He shows that he can be a 16-game player as opposed to an 82-game player. I'm just not there yet with him. I still go Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, he's overrated, and he doesn't have an in-between game. Chris, thoughts on Darius?
Who are you, the players of the NBA calling him the most overrated player in the league, which is completely asinine.
I think they got a point. Chris, what do you...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Do you expect Darius Garland to be ready for game one?
I do, yes. I think the biggest question when it comes to Darius at this point, though, guys, is how effective can he be playing through this particular injury? Because some injuries are just going to linger and they're going to bother you, and the type of player that you are, they're going to make it more difficult. So if we go back to last year in the NBA playoffs, I think part of the reason why Jared Allen simply could not play is because he's a big man who needs to lift his arms above his shoulder over and over and over again on like every single possession. He needs to grab rebounds. He needs to contest shots. He needs to block shots. He needs to keep the ball up high to dunk and lay the ball in and all that kind of stuff. And he couldn't physically do that, so he couldn't play. With Darius, like, so much of his game is stop and start. So much of his game is change of direction. So much of his game is about the speed and the quickness that he brings. Like, Kenny Atkinson has been asked over and over and over again, what makes Darius so special? And the first thing that he says is the speed that Darius can play at. And it's true. Like, not a lot of guards in the NBA can keep up with him, especially off the dribble. But can he be that dynamic off-the-dribble player that he has been throughout the course of this season, his bounce-back season, being an all-star, the way that he was in the first two games against Miami when he was averaging 24 points and 7 assists and he didn't have that toe that he re-aggravated? Like, that's the biggest question, I think, with Darius. This time off is going to help him. Obviously, not playing the final two games against Miami, that's going to help the recovery as well. But I've been hearing that this is something that he's probably going to have to deal with throughout the entire playoff run for the Cavs. And it's not can he play through it, because I think he's going to want to, and I think he's going to be able to, but there's a difference between being able to just like play through an injury and being effective and your usual self playing through that injury. And I think this is one that is going to, in terms of Darius's game and what makes him special, I think this is one that's going to be problematic for him.
Why do you think a lot of the fans, after those two games that Ty Jerome was in for Darius and Darius was out, have now just kind of turned their back on Darius and moved it towards this illogical thought that somehow the Cavs are better with Ty Jerome instead of Darius?
Well, I think Kyle Anderson had something to do with that. I think Tyler Hero's commentary probably had something to do with that. And Bam Adebayo's commentary probably had something to do with that. I don't know. I mean, I think when you look at such a small sample size of data, you can be blinded by what the truth actually is. And I'll say this, like, the Cavs numbers defensively with and without Darius Garland are pretty alarming. Especially in that series against Miami. But, like, it doesn't mean that they're better without him. It means they're different without him. It means they play a different kind of way. It means they use a different kind of personnel. It means they're able to do different things, both offensively and defensively, from a schematic standpoint. But it doesn't mean that they're better without him. When you have Darius and Donovan playing at a high level at the same time, those two dynamic guards, the Cavs are nearly impossible to beat. So that still remains their best ceiling, is those two guys playing at a high level together. And I love Ty Jerome. He's been a great addition for the Cavs. He's a great dude. I voted for him first for Sixth Man of the Year. I was one of two people that voted him first for Sixth Man of the Year. But he's not Darius. He's a different kind of player than Darius, and there's a different ceiling that this basketball team has when all of their guys are available. And I think even though you might be able to look at some numbers that say in a small sample size, maybe I have to look into this a little bit deeper, the Cavs are going to be at their best, and they're going to have a best chance to win a championship with Darius on this roster.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, and the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What do you think the biggest issue for the Cavs in this Pacers series will be?
I don't know that the Cavs can play the same kind of tempo that the Pacers can. And I know that the Cavs play fast, and they want to play fast, and they have a very modern offense. But this is a different level of speed that you have to deal with. This is a different level of pace that you have to deal with. This is a different level of transition principles that you have to play with. So that, to me, is going to be a challenge for the Cavs. It's kind of like if you're going into a football game or something like that against one of the fastest teams in your conference, and you hear over and over and over again, oh, they're so fast. Oh, nobody can keep up with them. And you're like, okay, I know what's coming. I understand that they are fast. I've seen it before on film, but then you feel it, and then you have to deal with it, and then you have to, like, change your approach on the defensive end of the floor and on the offensive end of the floor. It can mess with you a little bit, and not too many teams can play the tempo that the Pacers do and play it as effectively as they do. And if you think back to one of the losses that the Cavs had against Indiana, they kind of got caught up into that style, and they started jacking shots, and, like, they kind of got out of themselves. So I think the Cavs have to be cognizant of that. They do want to play fast. That's a big part of what they do. But Pacers fast and Cavs fast are two different things. So they have to find a way to match that and deal with that from Indiana while also staying true to themselves and not getting totally caught up into that game.
Should we be convincing ourselves this is like a 6 or a 7-game series, or is it closer to 5 or 6? I mean, Vegas still has, even for, you know, game one, 8.5-point favorites. That's a big number.
It is a big number, and I feel like Indiana just continuously gets disrespected, and, you know, that happens. The Cavs continuously get disrespected. It happens. So it's just something that you have to deal with. But, you know, guys, I have said throughout the entire season that the team that would worry me the most from the standpoint of a playoff series isn't Milwaukee, it isn't New York, it never was Miami. It was these guys. It was these Pacers, because I think stylistically they're very difficult to deal with. And I think they have the number one prerequisite that you need to hang with the Cavs and be competitive with them. they can score with the Cavs. You might be saying, well, gee, breaking news there. But, like, certain teams aren't capable of scoring 115 on a nightly basis, which is what's required to deal with this version of the Cavs. Ask Miami about it. They could barely crack 100. Like, Orlando couldn't get to 100. You know, so the Pacers, they have the kind of offensive firepower. They have the kind of offensive versatility that can allow them to hang with the Cavs. And they can win a three-point shooting contest with the Cavs. Not a lot of teams are equipped to doing that. And if there's a style, and I don't know that there is a specific style that you're like, oh my God, the Cavs can't possibly deal with this. Like 2 years ago, they couldn't deal with the physicality of the Knicks. There were just advantages that the Knicks were going to have in that particular series. And they all played themselves out. So I don't know that that kind of style like exists to the same level. There's a reason why the Cavs won 64 games. They're the number one seed in the East. And they've got a deep, talented, versatile roster. But, like, five-out teams have a tendency to, like, neutralize some of the things that they do better than most teams. And if they play Jared Allen together and Evan Mobley, like, that becomes a little bit more difficult when those guys have to hang out on the perimeter out by the three-point line. And it puts a lot more pressure on some of the other defensive players. And that kind of offense that Indy brings to the table, the five out, stresses the Cavs more than I think other teams because of just how they want to play defensively with Evan and Jarrett roaming the paint, providing rim protection, and making things really, really difficult. If they're pulled out to the perimeter and the last line of defense is going to be Darius or Donovan or Max Strus, the Cavs and the way that they function defensively, it's just different. And five-out teams have been a problem for the Cavs throughout the course of the regular season. And Kenny Atkinson even admitted today, it's the toughest style for them to have to deal with.
Chris, is LeBron retiring?
No, are you kidding? This is not. Everybody knows. When it comes to LeBron, everything he says, everything he does is calculated. This is not a guy that is going to go out like that. And this is not a guy who's going to go out and not make it known that he is going out. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to want the farewell stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to want everybody to have an understanding that this may be the last time you see LeBron. So I don't know if he's going to come out directly and say, hey, this is my final season. But I think he's going to drop enough morsels where, you know, you have a general idea that it's going to be his final season so that he can get all of the stuff that would come with that when you're talking about one of the greatest players ever. So, no, he's not going out like this. He's probably going to pick up his player option because it's $52 million, and he's probably going to stay in Los Angeles and just continue to see if he can be happy in L.A. as a person and with the lifestyle and compete for championships at the same time. Maybe he can, maybe he can't.
Yeah, I just don't know. You know, J.J. Redick just was so awful as a coach in the series, and I was giving him so much credit, Chris, the entire way, and it's just like, how do you play LeBron that entire second half of that game? Yeah. And Luka, too, with the conditioning issues.
I mean, he played all five guys the entire
He made no adjustments. I don't know, and I don't know what he's telling you there. If he's just like, we don't have the pieces, I had to, but he just refused to do anything. And then he got all chirpy with the media afterwards. I didn't love it,
yeah.
Chris.
I will say this, though. I think sometimes we get into this situation of, like, hey, why did one coach not do something to adjust? And, like, we put it all on him, like he's a bozo and he's not good enough. I think we can flip it, right? I think in this situation, part of the truth is Chris Finch is awesome. He is a really, really good coach. And the chess pieces that he has available to him, like, they're different. Right, he's got more guys that can move across the board in a different kind of way. So when it comes to J.J. Redick, like, yeah, I think part of it was he was going through his first ever playoffs as a coach, and he screwed up and he made some mistakes. But I think the other part of it was, like, he just didn't have the same kind of chess pieces. Not all of them, anyway, to make it a complete team. And I think sometimes an opponent or an opposing coach can, like, do some things in advance of what you're going to do to try and counter.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And you just have no answers for those.
Chris, great stuff today, buddy. Enjoy seducing your wife with your wet t-shirt later.
Sounds great. I will do that as soon as I get home. Right, Daddy's home.
Picture it never happened. All right, buddy, be good. Chris, thanks, Vidor, Chris. There on the, his words, not mine, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We'll react to his words and the Cleveland Cavaliers in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. On one hand, he says, I think he will be ready for Sunday. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, he says, this is going to be something that probably lingers for Darius.
Yeah, what's fascinating to me, and this might be one of the bigger tests that Atkinson has from a coaching standpoint in the series, is monitoring and figuring out when Darius is healthy versus when Darius seems like he needs a break, and then mixing and matching that up with what he needs to do with Ty Jerome.
Yeah, it's interesting. That whole conversation, by the way, and I'm not going to shut down the conversation, because I know eventually it might end up being a conversation. If Ty Jerome continues to develop, if he takes another leap next year and Darius is making a lot of money, maybe Darius is going to want... I understand that there are parts of this that will come in time, but the people who jumped on two games against a just sad sack Miami team,
right,
where Ty was great, do not get me wrong, but basing that to say the Cavs are better without Ty Jerome... better with Ty Jerome and without Darius Garland. Guys, you're playing right into what Tyler Hero and Kyle Anderson, I think, are saying in the midst of some sour grapes because they're losers.
It's nonsensical, but it does make you wonder, though, if Darius is dealing with this throughout the entire postseason. I'm just throwing a number out there. If it's 85% Darius, I still think you're better than with Ty Jerome. But that's why I say Atkinson is going to have to monitor this. Yeah. If Darius seems like he's struggling, maybe you do have to go longer stretches with Ty Jerome.
Well, and here's the thing with Darius. I think we initially went to, well, he's hurt. We've seen what we get out of Darius when Darius is hurt previously. I think Darius's confidence, and I think it was bolstered by those first two games of that Miami series. I don't think we should just assume some sort of massive regression or last year's Darius to show up again just because he's dealing with a toe injury.
No, totally fair. But if there was ever a series that I think Atkinson, it almost would be beneficial just to maybe take it easy on Garland, it would be this series, because the Pacers are just so good offensively. And, I mean, the on-off splits with Garland from an offense stand or defense standpoint is obvious. So, like, this would be the series that if you really want to play to that hand, you could.
It's just tough for me to say that because, yes, you're maybe gaining something. It's not like Ty Jerome's a world beater.
Well, it's more than just Ty Jerome, though. It's different ways that they can do that starting five and that lineup that would be out there. It'd be more than just Ty Jerome. It may be in other spots then you obviously Strus remains out there, and then you can have Merrill and Wade in some sort of combo, you know? Like, there's so much flexibility. And I think the freeness that Atkinson must feel, not forcing.
I said freeness.
No.
That there's another word there.
Not forcing Garland, if he maybe isn't looking the greatest, or maybe this toe is bothering him, has got to be some sort of relief. It would be for me if I was him.
I don't know. I mean, Darius is a 40-point, 3-point shooter. If the goal is who's going to score more points at the end of the game, or at the end of the day, I know you want to have good defense. The same point, Indiana is just a cheap imitation of what you do. So, like,
yeah, if
it comes down to, hey, if the Cavs at full bore, the Cavs can outscore them. With Darius. I don't know without Darius.
Well, but again, though, the difference, though, is it Darius at 100% or is it Darius at 80%? I think this is part of the convo.
They're like 83%. What if we met in the middle?
And we don't know. This is
build
obviously...
Build a bridge to Trust Town.
Just trying to have a conversation here. But I think this is the things that Atkinson has to monitor and look at and be like, is this toe actually bothering him? It bothered him enough to miss two games, and Atkinson says isn't going away. And you heard Chris. I think Chris laid it out perfect. Like, a lot of Darius's game is built on the idea that he can just go by guys because he's so quick. He's just so incredibly fast. They can do things on a court that other people can't. And if that's limited in some way, then you do become less of a Darius.
Have we gotten to a point yet where Darius, this is a baked-in excuse for Darius?
I don't think we're there. I don't think we're there yet. Do you feel like we're there?
No, probably not. But against Boston, maybe.
Well, so here's the thing. If he struggles against Boston, it will for sure come back to the idea that he's dealing with this toe injury.
But like,
you know that, and I know that.
What if he plays really well in this series? What if he plays this series in, let's say, it's a 5-game series, and so his 7-game stats are ridiculous, and then he struggles in Boston?
Well, then if he plays great for 7 games and his stats are awesome, then you can't tell me the toe's an actual problem.
I think we've just gotten to the point where I'm just going to come up with a lot of what-ifs just to see where we are with this. Did I
answer enough of them for you?
I'll probably think of one or two more.
Okay.
You never know.
No, I mean, it's so clear to me. It's so easy when it comes down to how you treat Darius and what you need to do with Darius. But I think that's the hard job that Atkinson has when it comes to actually figuring out how good is he going to be and what he can contribute.
Is Darius versus Ty Jerome a real conversation right now?
No, it isn't. But that might change if 2 games in, Darius looks like that's 60% Darius, and then all of a sudden, you got to figure out, maybe it's not Darius versus Ty Jerome, but it's Darius versus whatever combination Atkinson can come up with that would replace Darius.
I think my frustration is people are using the Darius versus Ty Jerome conversation right now to maybe have a longer-term Darius versus Ty Jerome, and I just feel like saying pump the brakes to all of that mess.
Yeah,
Darius was elite in the first 2 playoff games. Like, at some point, it feels like we're still playing the let's devalue Darius every turn we get. And I'm not saying you're doing that, but it does feel like there's a certain segment of Cavs fans who want to do. I'm out on that. No, that kid, he was awesome the first 2 games. I'm going to give him the chance here if he's healthy enough to play, and certainly beyond that as well. The lead coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.